You're listening to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor.
This is Jim Erickson. I'm speaking with fishery biologist David Jude and graduate student Stephen Hensler of the School of Natural Resources and Environment. They co-authored a recent paper in the Journal of Great Lakes Research about round gobies, non-native fish that Jude first detected in the Great Lakes system in 1990. Since then, the aggressive goby has spread to all five Great Lakes and beyond, driving out smaller native fish along the way. Right from the start, researchers suspected that ocean-going freighters brought the gobies here from overseas, then unwittingly transported them from port to port in ballast water. But exactly how the fish entered those ships has remained unclear until now. David, what was the mystery here? What part of this was difficult to explain?
Well, when we first looked at this, we knew that round gobies were a bottom-dwelling fish. And when we read the literature, we did not see any indication that the larval forms, which are guarded by the male on the bottom, would ever get into the water column. And so we never even thought that this might be a mechanism for their dispersal in ballast water tanks. So that was sort of the mystery that we were really concerned about.
What is it that you and Stephen have discovered here?
We were doing some sampling in Lake Michigan with nets to collect larval fish as part of another study. And we do these tows at the surface. And we picked up some round gobies in some of the samples that we collected, which was a big surprise to us because we thought, as I indicated, that there would be no way that larval round gobies would get into the surface waters. To follow up on that, we did some additional studies in Lake Erie to really try to find out whether or not round gobies did what we call a deal vertical migration, and that is that they come off the bottom at night, possibly to avoid predators or to get food or for some other mechanism. And in order to document this, we did sampling during the day and at night at two different depths, and we had replicates to try to understand whether or not these larval round gobies were coming to the surface. And in fact, we found 167 round goby larvae at the surface at night and zero during the day, which was a dramatic indication to us that they were indeed coming up off the bottom, occurring in the surface waters, and then going back down to the bottom during the day.
Okay. And you're calling them larval fish. So these are newly hatched fish. They're 2 to 5 days old. And at that age, they're between maybe a quarter of an inch and a third of an inch long. And you also mentioned the word deal. Does that mean daily, or what does the word deal mean?
Deal is a 24-hour cycle.
Well, why would they come to the surface at night and then swim back down to the bottom?
First, it could be escape from predation. Perhaps it's some mechanism where they've adapted through evolution in the Black and Caspian Seas to avoid predators, because we don't know what kind of predators they're exposed to there. And as a result of that, they'd be in a position to be taken in by ballast water when they take on ballast water at night, because they would be right in the same.
In the big picture, why should the average person care if round gobies or some other species of non-native fish hitchhikes a ride into the Great Lakes inside a ship from the Caspian Sea or the Black Sea? What's at stake here?
Well, there are a number of things at stake. The Great Lakes sport fishery, for example, is worth $4 billion. So there's an economic consideration to this. But as a biologist, I'm very concerned about the ecosystem effects. And we have seen some dramatic changes in what has happened to the Great Lakes. The best example I can use of that are the quagga and zebra mussels, which are coming into the Great Lakes. And they are completely changing how these ecosystems function. There's algae washing up on beaches. We've got botulism as a result of that. And we've got dead cormorants and dead gulls as a result of that. And so there's some really dramatic things going on. And sort of the final comment to this is that I don't think we're going to see some people really getting alert to this until we perhaps have a cholera epidemic or some other dramatic disease that comes into the Great Lakes. And we've already have VHS, which is this viral hemorrhagic septicemia, which has killed a number of muskies in Lake St. Clair. It's spreading to all the Great Lakes, and they think that that also was a ballast water transmitter as well. So there's big things at stake here, and we're very concerned about what comes in ballast water.
Stephen, what implications do your round goby results have for ballast water management practices on freighters that visit Great Lakes ports?
Well, our research indicates that if freighters would institute a policy whereby they only collected ballast water at or right near the surface and only during daylight hours, they would greatly reduce the likelihood of entraining enough round gobies in their ballast tanks to start new populations in other places. So it would help keep round gobies from spreading both from overseas ports as well as spreading to places that they have not already colonized in the Great Lakes.
So Steve, what kind of problems have round gobies caused for native species of fish here in the Great Lakes?
Well, round gobies have extirpated, which means they have basically eradicated some small native fishes in areas where round gobies have become established. So some of these small fishes like channel darters and log perch and greenside darters in Western Lake Erie and other types of fish too in streams that flow into the Great Lakes like sculpins. There are mottled sculpins have been extirpated from individual streams where round gobies have invaded. And anytime you're eliminating native species from an area, you're changing the system quite a bit, and it's a serious concern for scientists.
This is Jim Erickson. I've been speaking with fishery biologist David Jude and graduate student Stephen Hensler of the School of Natural Resources and Environment.
This has been a production of the University of Michigan News Service. Visit us on the web at www.umich.edu/news.